Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, buddy. Lovely to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. We are at Pepper Stadium out front, and as we speak, the Panthers fans are filing into the stadium playing the Titans, and I do see one Gold Coast jersey. Very brave man heading towards the gates to get inside. Should be a great game of footy this afternoon. One of the features, Ryan Girdler, you'd have to imagine, of course, is Nathan Cleary taking on Ash Taylor, who was sensational in the Noah's Ark game last week in the Big West, wasn't he?
Yeah, look, they were both brilliant. Yeah. Both having, especially of late, you know, I think Nathan, the fact that Manny Moylan pulled out just before that game, you know, sometimes, you know, guys step up and respond to that, and I think it was a really good sign for Penrith fans that he did that, and he took the onus upon himself to get the result. I don't think I've seen a more dominant performance this year by any player to come out and put that many points on, be involved in that many scoring plays. But look, I think Ash Taylor's been probably a little bit more consistent this year than Nathan has, and the guy, he's sort of probably been the Gold Coast best player every week. When you've got players like Jarryd Hayne and the quality of in the side, it's not a bad rap to put on a 22-year-old guy. So both got big futures. But today, the key is the winner, you know, stays alive. I mean, Penrith on 20, you know, the Titans on 18. They both need to win here this afternoon, and those two will play a big role in the outcome.
All right, in about 25 minutes, Peter Sterling will join us as we look at that game in greater detail and obviously get his take as well on the New South Wales Blues situation. But there is breaking news, quite literally. We were just talking about James Maloney and how important he is to the Sharks. They, of course, beat South Sydney last night. But James Hooper, there's news out of the Sharks camp.
Yeah, big news for the Premiers, Tone. And unfortunately, James Maloney suffered a broken hand last night.
No way.
He's going to have to go in for some minor surgery on Monday. They're hoping he should only be missing for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But certainly at this stage of the competition leading into the big end of season games, you don't want to be losing your most influential playmakers. So Cronulla, I believe they face the Warriors next week, then the Raiders, and then the Broncos on a Friday night. So it's a big few games coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a big few games. I'd be throwing Jack Burton there at 5'8". Just leave the outside backs as they were last night, because their outside backs, they were pretty potent last night.
Yeah.
He was out with the sternum injury.
That's right, yeah. He picked it up against the Titans a week before when he actually played that match at 5'8", because James Maloney was rested. But, I'm with you, Wendell. Yeah. I think that's a smart option. He's a footballer, Jack Bird. He's been great in the centres, but he's let it be known plenty of times that he likes to be on the ball, so here's an opportunity.
He's played a lot of footy in the last couple of years, James Maloney. Like, he went on the tour, obviously the grand final, the tour at the back end of last year. Yep. Played most games this year, then that Origin campaign. So, look, as much as it's going to, you know, affect him in the next couple of weeks, it could possibly be a good thing for James to have a couple of weeks off and probably try and get himself right for that Broncos game. They should beat the Warriors regardless, you would imagine.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe they can win a couple of those games and he comes back fresh and they're all the better for it.
Yeah, the key is for them just to hang in the top four there, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's it. Keep that
and then if he comes back fresh, we'll be looking rosy. All right, what about Manly? What's going on? We talked about the reports that were going into New South Wales and what happened there. There's also the integrity unit, and you love the words, that went in to Manly, to headquarters, to have a look at what was going on. This, of course, is all in relation to the allegations of some salary cap issues. Now, I understand there's a bit of a difference of opinion about how open Manly were. They said they invited the NRL in to have a look at their books, their papers, how their contracts had been set up, and make sure everything was above board and tickety-boo. The NRL seems to have wanted to go dig a bit deeper with laptops and mobile phones. Where are we at?
Well, the Seagulls chairman, Scott Penn, got on the front foot early in the week, Tone, and essentially invited the NRL Integrity Unit in to inspect Manly's books in relation to the salary cap. Now, that's great, and the NRL has gone in and absolutely had a look at the books, but they want some more detail, because if there has been anything untoward going on around Manly salary cap and payments to players. Well, I don't think it's going to be written down in the P&L ledger. Uh-huh. Most likely, if you are doing anything outside.
Unless you're Parramatta.
Or the Melbourne Storm, two sets of books.
Well, they had two sets. Yeah, so, still. Yeah.
They didn't see any brown paper bags lying around with
I don't think
on
they,
them.
No, they haven't seen any yet. Look, I've got to say, look, I just hope that they nip it in the bud as quick as they can. Just get in. If there is anything there, okay, investigate it and take it wherever it needs to go. But if not, just clear the Eagles and get on with business because we're leading into the big end of season
games. And it's tough for the players, and it clearly was for Daly Cherry-Evans, who faced the media, and quite naturally questions turned to that issue rather than how they're going to go around the footy field this week against the Dragons. Here's what Daly Cherry-Evans had to say.
I guess as the club, we probably still make the same mistakes by having the players here having to talk about it. I understand the allegations probably directly affect the players, but really, I don't think we should be standing here talking about it, to be fair. I think probably people from the front office should be dealing with this in front of the cameras.
Have you told them that?
Hey?
Have you told them that?
No. But I'm sure they'll find out soon enough.
Daly Cherry-Evans there, and I'm sure they have found out by now.
Yeah, he's 100% right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. It's not his problem. He's not involved in that. And I know, you know, sometimes when there are these scandals and these salary cap breaches, you know, some people do try and hold the players and the managers accountable. But, gee, I don't know. As a player, you're always sort of out there just negotiating your contract. You don't know what your teammates are getting. It's not your job to know what anyone else is getting. There's specific roles there within the club.
Yeah.
To manage the salary cap and who gets what. So the players don't know who's getting what. You get as much as you can and you're either happy or you're not.
I think it's important to clarify as well from a Seagulls point of view. The way these allegations have come to light, Tone, is that a disgruntled employee has gone forward to the NRL and also to other law enforcement and made a host of allegations. So that's why they believe that they need to ask some questions and do a little bit of investigating. But as Gers just pointed out, the players are not aware of who gets what, or they're not sitting there with a fine-tooth comb going over who's getting paid exactly what where.
In defence of the front office,
they
though,
do know how they get paid, though.
They do. Well, you'd hope so, yeah.
In defence of the front office, though, if a journalist was to ring and ask, you know, Penn or any of those people, they would, I guess, answer them about where they are in this situation. I mean, Daly Cherry-Evans has been put up, as they usually are, players are during the week, to talk about the game. And then it's the journos and their responsibility to get whatever story they can and dig as far as they need to. So they're naturally going to ask the questions as well.
Of course, yeah, but I must say, look, Scott Penn, he has been speaking to a lot of the newspapers this week, and he is the person who got on the front foot and welcomed the NRL to come in and have a look at their books. But I'm with Daly on this one. I think that you know, the players should be worried about winning games at this stage of the season, and the administrators should be worried about the salary cap and all those sorts of things.
Looking across the road here, Gerd, so I can see like the smoke starting to come out of the top of Australia's Hog Steakhouse. I can Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can start to smell.
When was the last time you went to that Hogsworth?
I haven't. I don't think I've. Not to that particular one?
No, to anyone, mate. To anyone in particular, mate. they do have in the eastern suburbs, don't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they
There's
do.
There's one at Bondi, I think.
Sure they do. Does Neil Perry run that one?
or Matt Moran.
I can start to imagine. If you've been listening and you can hear us over there, Australia's Hulk Steakhouse, I've got medium rare, thank you. just bring it over here. Any of the people here in front of us will walk over and get it for us. I understand. There's a gentleman there who's very keen to make the trip across the road.
Actually, that reminds me. Can I just say shout out to the boys there at Park and Fly there. They all love their rugby league. They love their show.
They've got to be relevant, Wendell.
And thank you to Coach.
They love our show. They love our show. They're good lads.
Oasis. Supported by Wendell Saylor throughout the entire song. Beautiful singing fella.
I love
it. I can't wait till you release your new album.
I love the girl. I'm going to do a Triple M, hopefully.
Yeah. Triple M are going to produce it?
Triple M and Park and Fly.
With a little help from Australia's Hog Steakhouse. I'm the meat at Hog Steakhouse. It's so fresh. I saw them walking a cow in earlier. the back door. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
Nobody knows if a stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
All right, let's see whether you're buying, selling, or holding.
There's the Girdler family.
The Girdler family is here.
Look at the girls. Beautiful girls. Catcher.
They're here, of course, in women in league round for their first live game of rugby league.
Is that their dad's old stomping grounds?
They are, yeah.
She's
really excited too.
Yeah. I'm wondering why they're not wearing Panthers colours. I mean, here are they're daughters of a legend.
Yeah.
Why aren't they in the...
We might be able to sort that out on the way in, Tone. Maybe a little pink women in league jersey might go down well for the girls.
Yeah.
Are you expecting to pay for that? That'd be good. Have you got any merchandise at home? Any jerseys?
I'm obviously a member, and they send me out some gear every year, the Panthers, and the girls run around in some of the gear, so... Yeah, they grow quickly at that age, though, Tony. You might remember it was a while ago that your kids were that age, but...
What are you talking about? I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. They're younger than your kids.
Yeah,
but they do, you know. You know what it's like, Tony. You buy them something, and next year you got to buy them something new, so...
I know. That is a shocking thing, being a father.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get the stock market right here, right now. Just a couple of things I want to throw at you. Let's start with the Roosters. Are they, in your mind, how have they gone hoops? Are you buying, selling, or holding on their 2017 form?
Well, I'm buying the Roosters at the moment, Tone. Obviously, they only played the last place Newcastle last night, but they're missing a couple of key players. They'll get their captain or their co-captain, Boyd Cordner, back over the next couple of weeks. Jake Friend isn't too far away. So I think they're in a good space, and I think they can make a good run at the title.
Yeah, look, everyone's talking about the Melbourne Storm, but I think, you know, the Roosters have got the team to sort of, to go toe-to-toe with them. I'm buying with the Roosters. I like what they're about. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce is playing some good football. Yeah, and, mate, they're forwards. They've got a really good forward pack and some really big, strong outside backs. So, yeah, I'm buying.
Gertz, who have you got there?
Oh, this is Bonnie. Yeah.
Right. Hello, Bonnie. You're holding.
Hello.
Yeah.
So, Bonnie, have you ever been to a game of rugby league before?
No.
You looking forward to it?
No.
I'm holding the Roosters at the moment, Tony.
Really?
Look, I just think there's a few elements in their game at the moment that concern me a little bit at the back end of the season. I know that they were missing some key players last night, but they come in and out of the games. I haven't really seen them put a lot of 80-minute performances in, and I think they're a fair way behind, especially Melbourne. I think most sides are at the moment, but. Yeah, I think they've got a fair bit of improvement doing in the last few rounds, and then into the finals if they're going to give it a shake.
All right, I'll throw another team at you then. Melbourne's basically a given, I think, for everybody. What about Broncos?
I'd have a little nibble at the Broncos. I like in the direction in which they're headed. I didn't get to see all of the game. I saw the highlights on Thursday night, and they're just one of those sides that's really dangerous, and they're a side that are really. They're a real dangerous side with momentum, and that's what they seem to be getting at the moment on the back of Origin. They're going to get Darius Boyd back soon too, so they're missing some key players. It's only going to really boost their confidence at the back end of the season. And they're a side on their day that can beat anyone, and especially under the tutelage of Wayne Bennett, who's been in more grand finals and won more competitions than any other coach, you would have to think that in the big dance, they've got to be a show.
Oh, look, I'm buying with the Broncos because... Darius Boyd comes back next week, as Gerd said, but they're a team that just know how to get the job done close to the end of the season. We saw the Cowboys beat them a couple of years ago, but like, I think Wayne Bennett's quite smart. He's given those young blokes a bit of a run. Benji Marshall has been a good addition. I didn't think that he needed to buy Benji Marshall, but watching Cody Nicarima the other night play, mate, so confident, and it's just a team that knows how to get the job done at the right time. So come towards the finals, the Broncos will go right.
Yeah, I'm buying the Broncos, too. Yeah. I think they're a big chance.
All right, well, let's go to the other end of the eight. Obviously, the Panthers, this is a crucial game this afternoon for them. They can basically, I think on for and against, they could leapfrog the Dragons if the Dragons get beaten by Manly tomorrow afternoon. Panthers, are you buying or are you selling? They're in your eight? Hoops?
Yeah, I think Penrith will make the eight, Tane. I hate to break your heart, but I think the Dragons, they've got the jitters big time at the moment, and I'm not sure whether they're going to be able to steady themselves and mount a run leading into September, whereas Penrith, I just feel as though they haven't really peaked or shown anywhere near their best yet, but they're still there or thereabouts. So I think out here at Pepper Stadium today, they can beat the Titans and then they can go on a run.
Yeah, I'm buying. I jumped on the Panthers bandwagon start of the year.
I said
I'm still on there. I still think they can win it from fifth or eighth. They still got the team to do it. Anthony Griffin...
I
still think they can win the
grand final.
100%, mate. It's all about timing and having that run. And I think we've seen it with a few teams over the last couple of years. And I think they've got the talent to do it. And I think, you know, we saw that last week. Matt Moylan was out. Young Cleary steps up. And I think they'll get the job done today against the Titans.
Good.
Look, I'm going to hold after last week, Tony. I think that was a step in the right direction, but I think today's the pivotal match for them, and the Gold Coast coming off three wins with a lot of confidence and beating some good opposition the last couple of weeks as well. So, I think if they can get over the Titans today, they've got a couple of tough games in the next few weeks as well. I think they've still got the Roosters, maybe the Broncos to go in their run home. So it's not a given. So today's crucial, but I think they need another performance like last week before I get back on.
All right, look, plenty ahead, including next. The cooler is up next. Oh, the cooler wants to occur to your small children allowed when the cooler is giving his little show. Yeah. That's next. This is Satellite Triple M NRL. We do it thanks to Coates Hire. Oasis. Supported by Wendell Saylor throughout the entire song. Beautiful singing fella.
I love it.
I can't
guy.
Wait till you release your new album.
I love the girl. I'm going to do a Triple M, hopefully.
Yeah.
So.
Triple M are going to produce it?
Yeah. Triple M and Park and Floor. Yeah.
With a little help from Australia's Hog Steakhouse. The meat at Hog Steakhouse is so fresh. I saw them walking a cow in earlier. the back door. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for this.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL Stock Market.
All right, let's see whether you're buying, selling, or holding.
There's the Girdler family.
The Girdler family is here.
Look at the girls. Beautiful girls.
They're here, of course, in Women in League Round for their first live game of rugby league.
Is that their dad's old stomping ground?
They are, yeah.
She's
really
cute.
Excited too.
Yeah. I'm wondering why they're not wearing Panthers colours. I mean, here are they're daughters of
mother.
A legend.
Yeah.
Why aren't they in the...
We might be able to sort that out on the way in, Tone. Maybe a little pink Women in League jersey might go
right,
down well for
right.
the girls.
Yeah.
Are you expecting to pay for that? That'd be good. Have you got any merchandise at home? Any
jerseys? I'm obviously a member, and they send me out some gear every year, the Panthers, and the girls run around in some of the gear, so... Yeah, they grow quickly at that age, though, Tony. You might remember it was a while ago that your kids were that age, but...
What are you talking about? I've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They're younger than your kids.
Yeah,
but they do, you know what it's like, Tony. You buy them something, and next year you got to buy them something new, so...
I know. It's, that is a shocking thing being a father.
Yeah.
All right, we had to get the stock market right here, right now. Just a couple of things I want to throw at you. Let's start with the Roosters. Are they, in your mind, how have they gone hoops? Are you buying, selling, or holding on their 2017 form?
Well, I'm buying the Roosters at the moment, Tone. Obviously, they only played the last place Newcastle last night, but they're missing a couple of key players. They'll get their captain or their co-captain, Boyd Cordner, back over the next couple of weeks. Jake Friend isn't too far away. So I think they're in a good space, and I think they can make a good run at the title.
Yeah, look, everyone's talking about the Melbourne Storm, but I think, you know, the Roosters have got the team to sort of, to go toe-to-toe with them. I'm buying with the Roosters. I like what they're about. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce is playing some good football. Yeah, and, mate, they're forwards. They've got a really good forward pack and some really big, strong outside backs. So, yeah, I'm buying.
Good, who have you got there?
Oh, this is Bonnie.
Hello, Bonnie. You're holding.
Hello.
Yeah.
Bonnie, have you ever been to a game of rugby league before?
No.
You looking forward to it?
I'm holding the Roosters at the moment, Tony.
Really?
Look, I just think there's a few elements in their game at the moment that concern me a little bit at the back end of the season. I know that they were missing some key players last night, but they come in and out of the games. I haven't really seen them put a lot of 80-minute performances in, and I think they're a fair way behind, especially Melbourne. I think most sides are at the moment, but. Yeah, I think they've got a fair bit of improvement doing in the last few rounds and then into the finals if they're going to give it a shake.
All right, I'll throw another team at you then. Melbourne's basically a given, I think, for everybody. What about Broncos?
I'd have a little nibble at the Broncos. Yeah. I like in the direction in which they're headed. I didn't get to see all of the game. I saw the highlights on Thursday night. And, yeah, look, they're just one of those sides that's really dangerous. And they're a side that are really... they're a real dangerous side with momentum, and that's what they seem to be getting at the moment on the back of Origin. They're going to get Darius Boyd back soon too, so they're missing some key players. It's only going to really boost their confidence at the back end of the season. And they're a side on their day that can beat anyone, and especially under the tutelage of Wayne Bennett, who's been in more grand finals and won more competitions than any other coach, you would have to think that in the big dance, they've got to be a show.
Oh, look, I'm buying with the Broncos because, Darius Boyd comes back next week, as Gerd said. But they're a team that just know how to get the job done close to the end of the season. We saw the Cowboys beat them a couple of years ago. But, I think Wayne Bennett's quite smart. He's given those young blokes a bit of a run. Benji Marshall has been a good addition. I didn't think that he needed to buy Benji Marshall. But watching Cody Nicarima the other night play, mate, so confident. And it's just a team that knows how to get the job done at the right time. So come towards the finals, the Broncos will go right.
Yeah, I'm buying the Broncos too. Yeah. I think they're a big chance.
All right, well, let's go to the other end of the eight. Obviously, the Panthers, this is a crucial game this afternoon for them. They can basically, I think on for and against, they could leapfrog the Dragons if the Dragons get beaten by Manly tomorrow afternoon. Panthers, are you buying or are you selling? They're in your eight? Hoops?
Yeah, I think Penrith will make the eight, Tane. I hate to break your heart, but I think the Dragons, they've got the jitters big time at the moment, and I'm not sure whether they're going to be able to steady themselves and mount a run leading into September, whereas Penrith, I just feel as though they haven't really peaked or shown anywhere near their best yet, but they're still there or thereabouts. So I think out here at Pepper Stadium today, they can beat the Titans and then they can go on a run.
Yeah, I'm buying. I jumped on the Panthers bandwagon start of the year.
I said
I'm still on there. I still think they can win it from fifth or eighth. They still got the team to do it. Anthony Griffin, you know, I think
I still think they can win the grand final.
100%, mate. It's all about timing and having that run. And I think we've seen it with a few teams over the last couple of years. And I think they've got the talent to do it. And I think, you know, we saw that last week. Matt Moylan was out. Young Cleary steps up. And I think they'll get the job done today against the Titans.
Good.
Look, I'm going to hold after last week, Tane. That was,
Kenny Rogers.
A step in the right direction, but I think today's the pivotal match for them. And the Gold Coast coming off three wins with a lot of confidence and beating some good opposition the last couple of weeks as well. So, I think if they can get over the Titans today, they've got a couple of tough games in the next few weeks as well. I think they've still got the Roosters, maybe the Broncos to go in their run home. So it's not a given. So today's crucial, but I think they need another performance like last week before I get back on.
All right, look, plenty ahead, including next. The cooler is up next. Does the cooler want to curds? Are your small children allowed when the cooler is giving his little show?
Yeah.
That's next. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it thanks to Coates Hire.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future.
All right, Wendell Saylor, can you please name three French dishes?
Yes, baguette, French fries, and
escargot.
You're too good, Wendell.
Thank you.
Absolutely too good. We are at Pepper Stadium. Peter Sterling is going to join us very, very shortly. Right now, they are making an NRL multi as easy with the all-new YouBet Multi Builder. Download the app today, customised by sport, time and price. Remember, gamble responsibly. And from YouBet, Nick Curry joins us. G'day, Nick.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Very, very well, thanks, buddy. All right, we are, of course, here at Panthers. Kick-off in just over half an hour away, head-to-head. What are we looking like?
Yeah, Panthers $1.50, Gold Coast Titans $2.65. The split of money at the moment, 60-40 in favour of the Gold Coast. And most of our UBet retail outlets are located, of course, in Queensland, so geography might have something to do with it. But the other alternative is that punters aren't convinced the Panthers are good things.
Okay.
What about the Raiders and the Storm, Nick? The Raiders have got a good record at home against Melbourne. I think they've won their last two.
Yeah, they have. They're 285 outsiders, though, today, and they're despised outsiders. The Storm, the rolled gold good things of the weekend, according to punters, at $1.45. Line of 6.5 points here as well, and there is endless support for the Miners. So if you're following the money in that second game, you've got to be on the Storm.
All right, let's push a little bit further forward, the Cowboys and the Warriors.
Yeah, Cowboys $1.28, pretty short without JT, of course. The Warriors $3.85, Lions 10.5, and the game total in this one, plenty of points expected. It's 40.5 points, and there's good money there for the overs. So if you want to string together a multi using that UBet multi-builder you mentioned earlier, the most popular this round is the Gold Coast Titans +4.5 into the Cowboys -10.5, and then, of course, the Storm -6.5. You get $6.80.
All right, Nick Curry, as ever, thank you very much. Making an NRL multi is easy with the all-new YouBet multi-builder. Download the app today and customised by sport, time and price. Remember, gamble responsibly. That is a thought you should also take into this next segment.
You're cooler.
Best cooler there ever was, and I need him back.
You're not having either the cooler. The cooler.
All right, everyone. Chill.
You're listening to the cooler.
Yeah.
You're not gambling responsibly, are you?
Well, you were last week.
Last week you had a win.
Yeah. And the cooler's obviously just downgraded this segment to a G.
With Ryan Girdler's children.
This is a Finding Nemo version.
A lot of kids around today, so the cooler's on his best behaviour. But yeah, had a little win last week, the cooler, and yes, they are erecting that statue sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
But today, the cooler. Yeah, today the cooler, well, he's always been a fan of, you know, those celebrities when they get together and they merge their names.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like Brad and Angela were
Brangelina.
Yeah, that was one. And, okay. and Bill and Hillary Clinton were Billary.
Hillary,
you know,
yeah.
those guys. Well, today yeah. I've gone for a couple of my all-time favorite Indigenous wingers.
Okay.
One was Ashley. Sailor. Oh,
thank you, mate.
There's Appreciate a horse it. Running today
Uh-oh.
Called Ashlaw, and that's in Melbourne Race 9, number one. Now, this thing's fast.
Yeah.
It's only good over a short distance.
That's like me.
Can what? Struggle under the high ball. Did spend a couple of years on the sidelines due to suspension, but he is back. He usually
Massive
likes
rump.
Running. He likes to run in Newcastle or in Brisbane, and he's recently been gelded, but he's in good spirits.
I feel like I'm glad.
It's the moustache that's doing it to him.
The coolest tip today in Melbourne, race 9, number 1, Ashlaw. And it's paying about $8.
Wow.
And you know, it'll win. The cooler's out.
Time for the cool
X-rated, Tony.
We should have G-rated in the studio more often.
Yes.
Far more often. Thanks, Cooler. Peter Sterling joins us next. Saturday Triple M. The vinyls for you as Triple M rocks the footy. We are outside Pepper Stadium. The Panthers taking on the Titans. We're here all thanks to Coates Hire. What a great pleasure to welcome Mr. Peter Sterling to the microphone. G'day, Sterlo.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Very, very well, thank you. Again, you've underclubbed on the clothing department. It's quite cool here. Look at you, little short sleeve T-shirt. What's happening?
Mate, when you're as tough as I am, you've got arms like this, you don't want to keep them even.
Exactly. Bit of fur on the arms, actually, now that it's We'll keep
I can
work.
Grow it somewhere.
It's ironic, isn't it? Now, what about this week for you? How has it been? Have you sat back and just lapped up there all the glory of New South Wales?
Post-mortem.
And, yeah, how's it been?
Look, it's been a learning week. I learned a lot of things. I learned that New South Wales shouldn't pick play with tattoos,
yes.
Which I'm happy to run with as long as Queensland don't pick Josh Maguire or Jonathan Thurston if he's available ever again. I learnt that you need to pick players who are that committed that they'll leave their hand over a naked flame. And I can run with that as well. Some may look upon that as complete stupidity, but that's fair enough. The one thing I won't run with is any suggestion, and I'm not quite sure, I didn't read into it, but any suggestion or insinuation that players in the New South Wales side play, their prime motivation is the money. That's a statement made by somebody who didn't see the players after game one, which they won. Absolutely battered and bruised after a brutal contest. They didn't see after game two the utter devastation of the entire squad who were three sets of six away from winning the series and didn't. And again after game three where they didn't bring their best football, lost the series, and it was as a bad a dressing room as I've ever seen. New South Wales didn't lose the series on a lack of effort. If there'd been a lack of effort, it would have been 30-0 at halftime in game three and the game would have been over. But somehow they still found a way to turn up despite the fact they were playing poorly. So I learned a lot. I don't know how much I'll take on board, but I can take complete umbrage with any insinuation or suggestion that the motivating force for New South Wales players is money.
I find that whole thing, as a fan also, I mean, I was gutted. I can't believe that the New South Wales don't feel... There's a whole idea that one team plays with more passion is just an absolute nonsense, isn't it?
Well, I would like to think that's the case, and from my experiences around the players, absolutely. They gave their all. And that's what I feel sorry for the New South Wales squad after this campaign was there's no recognition of the effort that went in. Yeah, it's all... It's like you got beaten 3-0 and were never in it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the effort was here. We got beaten by a great side and we did a lot of things wrong, a lot of decisions poorly made on the field. To me, all of the conversation we've had, I find completely ironic that it's actually two of Queensland's best ever coaches, probably most successful coaches, who put some perspective into things, and that's Mel Meninga and Wayne Bennett.
Yeah, exactly. They've said that the whole thing... of this look, I guess, from New South Wales fans and everybody else as well about what's going on. Everybody has wanted to bite in and have a say, as you mentioned. Now, here we are at Penrith. We said at the top of the show, Gus Gould talking about not wanting Penrith players involved with New South Wales at the moment. I mean, it seems to me that is a grab for a headline or just content, Phil, rather than genuine, surely.
Oh, look, I don't know. You know, Phil doesn't say much for effect, I don't think. And I have enormous respect for what he has to say. So that was particularly disappointing to hear. But again, a lot of that is, you know, from seeing from the outside in. All I can say is what I experienced. And I was around more than 17 players, because there were more than 17 in camp, who were committed to a cause, who trained their backsides off, who made sacrifices to be there, did all the things that you want them to do. Now, I haven't sat down and watched that third game yet. I'll put that heartbreak off for a little while yet. So I'm not quite sure what went wrong on the field. But I know that the team going into game three were as well prepared, if not better prepared, than they were going into game one.
What did you make of the performance, Pete, in game three?
It was terrible. It was weren't in it from the kickoff. And as I say, the game should have been over by half time. But, you know, Cooper Cronk doesn't get the ball over the line, and there's, you know, because he dived too early. Well, Brett Morris actually got there and knocked the ball out. Cameron Smith goes through, pushes Josh Papali into the line. We have four blokes converged. They were playing poorly, but they were hanging in. And when we got back to 12-6 with a bit of momentum in that first 10 minutes of the second half, we thought, well, hang on, if we score next here, it's all of a sudden Queensland looking over their shoulder thinking, well, we had this game won, now we've got to win it twice. Unfortunately, we forced an error. Queensland defended it really well, came down the other end of the field, some really poor decision-making defensively. Valentine Holmes scores in the corner, and game's over. But, you know, as I keep saying, we did not lose because of a lack of effort. And if anybody questions that, I'd take complete umbrage with that, because I saw the effort that went in from all of the players involved.
Two questions for you. One, is Laurie Daly still in your mind, the person who should be there? Two, have you spoken to him? Do you know what he wants to do?
I haven't spoken to Laurie. I did the day after Origin. Things have changed a little bit since then. Look, Laurie's the man for the job if he wants to be. You know, I think he's really well placed there. I think he started a lot of things that he would like to finish. But after what's happened over the last week, I don't know whether it's something that he'd be keen to take on. I've deliberately stayed out of his way. I think he needs some space, and he's obviously taken that. There's been some criticism that he hasn't, you know, been front and centre, but I know how draining it is, and I know nobody's done it tougher out of that campaign than Laurie does, so I think he deserves the respect of a little bit of time and space, and he'll come back and answer things when need be. I also want to point out that I did confirm on Triple M that David Clem was told that he was going to start. Now, I also made the proviso then that I'd spoken to Laurie the night before the game, and I asked him what was going on, and he told me that Clemmer was going to come off the bench and Andrew Fifita was going to start. I did not question that any further because I was not going to second-guess the coach the night before the game. I had no idea whether he had a conversation with Andrew Fifita or not. All I know is that David Clemmer was told that he would start. Now, again, in retrospect, it certainly didn't hurt David Clemmer. He was clearly our best player. I don't know if he plays that well if he starts the game. That's hypothetical. It's my understanding from, again, what I've read, that Laurie didn't have a conversation and that he made his mind up to start the way that he had the previous two games. That's his prerogative as the coach. The night before, I'm not going to say, well, hang on, why are you doing this? What are you doing this? We're on the eve of the game. And so I just want to put that straight. That when I confirmed, and I only confirmed because David Clemmer came out and said that, yes, I was told I was going to start, but I don't want to say any more. So hopefully that can be put to bed. There was no undermining of coach's authority in any shape or form.
Gee, was it as much fun as you thought it was going to be?
It was. but I had a great time. I had a wonderful experience, and the only disappointment was, you know, the fact that we were 3.5 minutes away from winning the series and then came up with such a poor performance in Game 3 when the opportunity was still there. You know, we need to find out why that performance was so bad. But to me, a lot of that has to do with decisions made on the field, not off.
Do you think that the fact that they got so close, Pete, and the letdown after game two was too much emotionally and they just didn't carry that through that next week into that third game?
I didn't see that, Gerds, but maybe the way they went out and played, I don't know if the occasion got to them, but, you know, we're talking about our elite players. I'd be disappointed if that was the case. It was the perfect scenario to go up there, an us-against-them mentality, everything on the line. You know, I expect the New South Wales to start the way that Queensland started, so I'm not really sure The one thing I'm disappointed in concerning game two is that we did not learn the lessons from that last half hour of that game going into game three. We still gave away penalties for stripping tackles and rushing up out of the defence when we didn't need to. You know, we that was what disappointed me most, is that we should have learnt and we didn't. And it, again, cost us dearly, as it always does at Origin level.
All right, hang on to that question, Hoops. I know there's plenty more to talk about with Stirler. We also, of course, preview this game. It's a terrific one coming up in just about 20 minutes, of course. It is the Panthers and the Titans. We are here at Pepper Stadium. We'll go preview that for Iveco Trucks. Have a look at the lineups and Mongrel Boots. All ahead, Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday, Triple M, NRL. With Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, what a tackle!
Beautiful tackle!
Triple M rocks the footy.
Have a good day.
Yes, indeed, we are at Pepper Stadium. Ryan Girdler, Peter Sterling, James Hoop with me. Okay, Sterler, we were talking about all that has gone on in the Blues camp. I guess the big story coming out at the back end was Josh Dugan and Blake Ferguson and the Lennox Point Hotel. Mm. What have you made of that and the wash-up from it?
Yeah, look, it's difficult because I... If I was in their position, I would have done exactly the same thing. To me, a day off in camp, and you need a day off because you're around the blokes so much that you actually need a break, and you need a break from thinking about the game. You need to just tune out for a while. And I guess if I wasn't into golf like I am now, and if I didn't have family up there available, my way of relaxing and getting myself ready would have been to go to a pub on a beautiful part of the coast, looking out over the ocean, having a can lunch, having a couple of beers, and having a flutter that afternoon, and coming back into camp relaxed and ready to go and rip into training next morning. And I want to point out, my preparation was meticulous. Nobody prepared better than I did mentally or physically, except maybe my diet. Yep. That's the only thing. But so to me, a day off is actually about players going and doing something that allows them to not be looking forward, completely focused on the game, just to have a break from that, have a little bit of a break from each other. I'd have grabbed Roy Simmons and taken him down with me. I don't think he'll mind me saying that. And that's what you want, your players to come back in a good state of mind, having had a good day, relaxed and ready to rip in at training the next morning. And that's an avenue that I would have explored, because that would have worked for me to put myself in that state and to take advantage of a day off.
Well, who were you coming from, Pete? But let me ask you this. If you'd been part of a New South Wales side that had lost 10 out of the last 11 series, do you think you still would have done
absolutely
that same thing on a day off?
Absolutely. My day off is about me going away and having a nice day, not hurting anybody, not bothering anybody, doing something that puts me in a nice, relaxed state so that I come back into camp and I'm ready to go. And that's
it. But does alcohol, in terms of professional performance...
I'd have had two beers. I don't know how many beers...
Well, I think the boys have confirmed they had more than two. I'm not saying it's a crime of the century. In isolation, I don't think it's a big deal at all. But I think when you look at it in the bigger picture and you look at the whole big scheme of things, in hindsight, it was disappointing.
Well,
and they've admitted that.
Okay. They said it maybe is an error of judgment, and that's the way that they see it. But to me, we had players who were more inferior than those two players on the Wednesday night. Yep. Are we exploring what they did on their day off? Did they have a bad game of golf? I don't know. You know, if the blokes came back ready to go and they haven't stepped outside the boundaries, and that's where I guess we have a difference with the boundaries. Oh, look, these are grown men. If they want to go away and have a couple of beers, as long as they turn up next morning ready to train, as long as it doesn't affect their preparation on Wednesday night, a day off is that. And a day off is looking to achieve something. And again, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask, but it is something that I would have done and understood, and it would have helped my preparation, because it would have put me in the right frame of mind for those last days going in. Look, I know times change, and I say there's a fossil, and he's an advisor for New South Wales and advising that kind of stuff, and shock horror. But, I see a day off as being exactly that, and doing something that you enjoy doing without bothering anybody. And as I say, I didn't think they were clearly the two worst players the following Wednesday night.
And it is a beautiful spot, the Lennox Point Hotel. Very nice.
It is, and if if I'd have backed a winner, I'd have had an even better afternoon.
Go down to the Lake Ainsworth there, the Tea Tree.
Am I making any sense?
You are making sense. Do you think, though, that, I mean, was it 2010 the last time there was so-called independent review of what goes on? Now that's the call that somebody, an outside independent person, will have a look at the entire setup. Do you think that is a worthy thing to be happening?
If that'll please whoever, why not? Because I don't think anybody in there is concerned about what they're going to find. I thought camp was great. I wasn't in there all the time. Like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time comparatively in camp. But what I saw were guys working hard. I saw a lot of focus. I saw them going through video. I saw them having a really good rapport with each other. I saw the kind of camp that I would have enjoyed as a player and the kind of camp that would have prepared me to be ready to go. Now, I can't answer the question as to why they were so poor on the Wednesday night. That's the quandary, and I guess that's why everybody... And look, I love the fact everybody is so invested in New South Wales and they want answers and that. But I don't believe that an investigation into what took place in camp is going to uncover what went wrong on that Wednesday night, because I thought it was a great preparation.
Would you like to be there 2018?
I don't know. I thought so, but I'm not so sure now. It has a way of maybe beating a little bit of passion out of you, unfortunately, as to what the last week has been. And look, I only played a minor part of it, but again, I go back to Meninga and Bennett. I think they understand what it's all about, and I think that they've talked about it being an overreaction. But when you lose, you put yourself in that situation where that's the nature of the beast, and that's our beast. Whether I want to be a part of that beast again, I'm not quite sure.
I think it was the performance, Pete. It wasn't necessarily the loss, but it was the way that the Blues lost in that game three. That's why we've seen such a vitriolic post-mortem, where it has been death by a thousand cuts, front pages, back pages,
I agree.
All that sort of thing.
I understand. If you lose, you open yourself up to the slings and the arrows. I've just been disappointed in some of the slings and some of the arrows.
All right. We could talk to you about this all day and all evening, but there is...
I think we've got the best game of the round coming up here this afternoon.
It's absolutely brilliant. Before we get into it, dig a bit deeper, do we have any for Mongrel Boots? Any lineups, any changes going on, Gerds?
Well, not for the Titans. So the Titans are 1-17. Penrith also will field the same 17 players, but there's been one change to the starting lineup, and that's Campbell Gillard goes back to the bench, and they will start with Tim Brown. So only the one change to the Panthers lineup this afternoon.
Ryan James v. Campbell Gillard, when he gets on, will be good.
I'll tell you what, you didn't ask Hoops to do it, because remember last week he went on for about half an hour with those team lineups, so I know that you've shifted it over to me.
Absolutely.
He gave their middle names, didn't he, last week?
And there'd only been one change, too.
Well, thanks to Mongrel Boots. All right, so I'll have a bit of a preview for Iveco Trucks. Sterlo, as you say, it's just a great game. And those two halfbacks who run out there a little later on, just a few minutes. Ash Taylor last week, just sensational. We all know everybody's been talking about Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, I've said before that these are the kind of players that you build a club around. You know, they're an investment in your future, such wonderful young talents, and they play with an experience and an old head above their years, and that's a great sign, and they'll only get better. So for both clubs, you can understand why they'd be trying to tie them up for long term, because they're hard to find. You know, they're wonderful ball players, got great composure. They look like they're leaders already at this stage, and they'll be play key roles this afternoon for their respective teams. Whoever wins, you know that one of those will have been one of the leading players.
When you were a young bloke coming through, Pete, did you look at the big league when you knew you were coming up against Steve Mortimer, or when you knew you were coming up against Tommy Radonikis? Did you circle those games?
Well, I didn't need any reminder, to be honest. So, look, I think more than anything, it's the satisfaction of walking off being successful, knowing that you've done well against those kind of blokes. But obviously that those kind of things are always featured, and yes, I was always very aware and relished it. I loved those kind of competitions. And it is, it becomes a one-on thing. I suppose halfbacks in a couple of different areas, they do come together a little bit.
For sure.
So a bit different to fullbacks, who rarely sort of come each, but halfbacks do, and you play such an important role in your team. So for these boys this afternoon, whatever side wins, there'll be enormous satisfaction for whichever seven is wearing the winning jersey.
Ryan Girdler, there's no women in league round, and you've got your beautiful wife and daughters about to go in there. What are you looking forward to about this afternoon, this game of footy?
Oh, look, so many different things. Obviously, you spoke a little bit about what happened last time these two teams met. So I know that they've dropped Campbell Gillard back to the bench, which is obviously a tactical ploy just to take a little bit of that emotion probably out of the opening exchanges. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think there's some really good clashes in the backs as well. Connie Harrell against, you know, Wonga Blake, I think will be a feature this afternoon. Two big aggressive centres going at it. Dylan Edwards against Jarrod Hayne, I think that as well, you know, a young up-and-coming player of the future against, you know, an established Origin star. And, yeah, the two halfbacks. The thing I like about Nathan Cleary, he really got rewarded last week. I think he runs more than any other halfback in the competition. He refuses to pass the ball to a player in a worse position than him, and that, therefore he's always taking on the line. And last week he just proved that if you drop off on the assignment, he's actually dangerous when he runs the footy to be able to come up with, you know, that, all those tries and those line breaks just shows that he's dangerous runner of the football as well, and the fact that he's willing to run it is just another real positive part of his game.
Yeah, I don't see both of these teams playing finals football, Tony. I think one of them possibly can. So this is kind of a four-point game for me, that if one of these teams is to play finals, it'll be at the expense of. So you've got to win this type of game. You know, if one of these are going to make it through to be there in that final month, this is a game you have to win.
And who is it for you?
I like Penrith. I think at home here, I think we've seen them warming to the task. Moylan back in. Gold Coast won't be easy to beat. Thought they were great last week in very different conditions to what we're experiencing here. But when in doubt, I go the home side, and I think it's that tight.
Hoops, who wins?
Yeah, I like Penrith as well, as Pete just touched on there. I think this is a real semi-final style of game because of what's at stake. Most likely the loser won't feature in September. Peter Wallace back in for the Panthers as well. I think crucial. I think they can get the job done.
All right, look, thank you for so much. We look forward to that call. Thank you to all here, certainly to Coates Hire. Go the footy as Triple M rocks it.